chance he would found a dynasty that would last a millennia. And his France included most of Italy, Spain, a good part of the Mediterranean basin, pieces of Germany, Prussia, Austria, Poland, the subservience of the Netherlands and of Denmark. Napoleon even dreamt of conquering Switzerland, which is a bone that no one has swallowed in 500 years. Best joke about the Swiss, if you've ever been to Switzerland, you'll appreciate it, is that God, after he created the world, stepped back and he saw that Switzerland got too much. It was just too beautiful, and everything was out of balance. So in order to make it even, he gave them the Swiss. That Napoleon's ambitions knew no limits. Napoleon went to Palestine. He conquered Egypt. He marched through Palestine. He besieged the city of Acre, the port city of Acre. He was unable to bring down the walls, and he retired back to France. But there was really no limit. Napoleon saw himself as nothing less than Alexander the Great. And because he was a military genius, he was very innovative, and like all successful generals, was also very lucky. He built for himself an aura of invincibility. And as many times we know, the perception of things that is important as the reality. The perception of Napoleon was that he was invincible, that he was going to last forever. And therefore, people took him not only seriously, people took him very seriously. He was not something to be trifled with. And the Jewish people, therefore, also took him very seriously. Now, there are two events that mark really his influence upon Jewish life. One was the famous convening of the great Sanhedrin under his auspices, and the second was his invasion of Eastern Europe. Both of these events had enormous consequences for the Jewish people. Well, let us talk for a few moments about the convening of the Sanhedrin, which took place in 1807 in Paris. Preparatory to the convening of the Sanhedrin, Napoleon convened what he called a council of notables, in which all of the leading Jewish lay leaders and rabbinic leaders who were under his domain were called to Paris to deal with a series of questions that Napoleon submitted to them. I want to read for you the questions, because then you'll have an idea of what Napoleon had in mind. The questions are like, have you stopped beating your wife yet, type of questions. They left very little room for maneuver. They left very little room for the Jews to really avoid what Napoleon wanted. Again, what he wanted was a statement of policy that would encourage assimilation, that would allow him as a government, because Napoleon paid lip service to the ideas of the French Revolution, of democracy, equality, etc., and he even spoke in terms of freedom of religion, so it wouldn't look nice for the government to force the Jews to assimilate. So in effect, he wanted a statement from the Jewish people, from the Council of Notables, that they wanted the Jewish people to assimilate, and then he would be able to say, well, I'm only doing what the Jews want. I'm not forcing upon them any policies. Question number one, is it lawful for Jews to have more